Will the Senate come to order? Will members please vote to signify your presence?
The roll shows 19 members present. Senator Kukesh is excused.
Please stand for the invocation by the chaplain, Pastor Dan Wonders of Aldersgate United Methodist Church.
Gracious God of all peoples, we are thankful for the wisdom and experience that come from the diverse paths that have brought the members of this Senate to this time and place in the history of Alaska. We pray that these senators can so work together that public attitudes toward government are elevated, and constituents, especially the voiceless and overlooked, will know that they've been attended to. We're thankful for the abilities and dedication of the support staff. Ask your peaceful blessing upon all of them. May what the pages experience here sustain and guide them in their fulfilling their life goals. In this Senate, let truth be spoken, camaraderie be nourished, mutual respect be deserved, and nobility thrive. We pray your watchful care upon senators and constituents as they travel. Amen.
Senator Elton, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 58th and 59th legislative days.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objections, the journals are approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. Are there introduction of guests? Senator Wilkins.
Morning, Madam President. I have guests in the Grow Gallery today, and if I might have a point of personal privilege before I introduce them. When people ask me about this temporary part-time job, I tell them how much I love it, and one of the things I say, though, it's tough on families, and each of you that sit here know exactly what I'm talking about. So without family supporting you and me, we don't do the good work that we're able to do, and I say that for all of you, that I recognize that just as you do, and how you recognize it for all of us. So with that, Madam President, thank you for that latitude. Most of the family is with me today, many of them their first trip to Juneau, so if I might introduce them. Starting there, Sue's been here before, my wife of some 39 years, and we have four kids. She built four boats, and I greased the skids. That's kind of the way that is. It's great to have Sue back. Next to Sue is Allison. Allison is our second child, our oldest daughter. Allie, if you'd stand. And next to Allie is Charlotte. A little story. Her hubby is, I think most of you know. Allison's husband is Captain, or excuse me, Major Cam Curry, and he's a fighter pilot with the Air Force, and been in Afghanistan twice, and now is deployed to Korea for 1 year. The beauty of that whole thing, if there is some, is that Allison and little Charlotte have lived with us for 24/7 now for almost a half a year. They're going to go off to Tucson, and unfortunately, in June, where he'll be an instructor pilot. But we've had the pleasure and the honor, and as the Senator Green said, my cup runneth over of living with Charlotte and Allison for now. It'll be a year in May. So what a treat. Allie was a teacher, in her second year in grade school teacher. She was nominated as a BP Teacher of the Year and retired to become a mom. So Allie and Charlotte, great to have you there. Now it's Matt is with us, and Matt and Michelle's family, if Matt and Michelle would stand, and the boys. Matt and Michelle, Matt's our oldest boy, and he is works for the local sewer and water utility in Fairbanks, graduated as Allie did from University of Alaska. And Michelle, there, they've been married, help me now, 12 years, I would guess, somewhere in there. And Michelle is a working mom, as all working moms are, and she does time outside of the house as one of the more sought-after massage therapists in Fairbanks. She has quite a clientele and can work all she wants to work, which Sue and I sometimes would tell you is much too much. But Michelle, we're proud of her. The boys in the middle, on the left in the brown shirt is Evan. Evan's a 10-year-old, goes to Denali School, where I went to school as a youngster. And Evan likes basketball, just loves to fish, and he's becoming a piano player, which we're very proud of him doing that. And then next to his brother is Mason. Mason goes to Valley School as a third grader. And Mason is a guitar player and loves to fish. You can't get him, can't give him enough fishing. So the two people that aren't with us today is Bobby is brewing beer out of Alaskan Brewing Company, so he couldn't be here today. And Karen has just got back from a fly fishing trip in Mexico for her job. So they weren't able to be here. But I wanted, before I left this place, I wanted to have them come and see where I've been. So with that, would you please welcome my family.
Would anyone like to follow that? Further introductions this morning? Senator Ellis.
Madam President, good morning. Another great family who's joined us today. They're in Senator Ziegler's gallery. And the fellow there is my intern this year. We call him Professor Intern because he's a professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage in social work and has held that position for a number of years. And a lot of social workers in the state owe their careers to this gentleman, or at least their educations. He is the replacement for Clive Thomas this year. Clive is on sabbatical from supervising and teaching the intern program, the legislative intern program, through the University of Alaska Southeast. And so this fellow has filled in. But he wanted the experience of an intern in the legislature. So he's sat there at the front desk in my office and done a fantastic job. The other staffers in my office were very appreciative of Mr. Patrick Cunningham. Professor Cunningham, Professor Intern, has his wife Marietta with him at spring break in Anchorage, and his son, James, who's 15 years old, and a sophomore at East High. So please help me welcome Patrick Cunningham and his wife Marietta and his son James.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to reintroduce a guest in the gallery behind me. Initially, I introduced her as a constituent of the senator from Midtown. Then I think I introduced her as a longtime friend and fellow teacher at ACC. After that, she was introduced as Dr. Becky Patterson, Professor Emeritus from UAA. Today, I'd like to introduce her as Becky, my fiance.
Very good. Good luck, Becky. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to add a footnote. The previously introduced delightful woman, Becky, also saved me from a great embarrassment. We were on a boat trip. I fell asleep in a skipper's chair with autopilot on, and she gently woke me up as we were about to hit another boat, which could have been dangerous and certainly embarrassing. I've made a lot of dumb moves in my life, but she saved me from another one. It's my privilege today to introduce a guest page. Sitting over here on your left is Nicholas Dunham, goes by the nickname of Cole, who's serving as a guest page. He is spending his spring vacation with his grandparents. Lucky Schultz is my chief of staff, and Kathy, taking this opportunity to learn more about how our government works. He has a good foresight to be born and raised in Anchorage, an honor student at Begich Middle School. His interests include Taekwondo and anything having to do with computers and video games. Please help me welcome Cole to our chambers.
Are there further introductions? Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Madam President.
Messages from the House.
Messages dated March 12 and 13 stating the House has passed and is transmitting for consideration. House Concurrent Resolution Number 24 by the House Finance Committee suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 72 relating to the Community Revenue Sharing Program. CS for House Bill Number 289, Fisheries, by the House Special Committee on Fisheries, an act exempting employers from paying unemployment tax for temporary services provided by fishing vessel crew members and related to emergency oil spill training and response activities, and providing for an effective date.
will be held on the Secretary's desk.
Madam President.
Senator Hoffman.
Unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
The prayer will be spread on the journal. Brief at ease, please.
Madam President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 72 Finance, thus adopting the House committee substitute for Senate Bill 72 Finance.
Is there discussion? Senator Terrio.
Yes, I object to the motion. For the purpose of discussion, wondering if somebody can please explain some of the changes that were made in the House.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. The primary change in the legislation that we passed over to them is a pay-as-you-go plan. The bill that we had made a distribution formula that went on no matter what the financial situation was for the state of Alaska, and knowing that we don't have a secure financial future without the gas line, we had made a provision in here that triggers a surcharge when prices of oil are high, there also is provisions in here for a three-year step down as if prices of oil dip below the trigger, there will be a reduction of one-third of the program over a three-year period. But also in the legislation is a rapid increase to the program once progressivity kicks in. And today that seems to not be a problem. But if there is such a time that we do have a major reduction in the price of oil, the program would start stair-stepping down.
Are there further questions? Senator Terrio.
Thank you. For the co-chair, perhaps, just a little explanation on that mechanism. It all is still, it's a suggestion for a future legislature, is it not, that the money be accounted for, that accrues if in fact the progressivity is turned on, and it would be a yearly deposit that would be calculated and the legislature would have to make into that fund, because it's not a dedicated fund, it's just a sub-account of the general fund, if I understand the wording on page 5. So I just want to make sure that people don't think that we've set this thing on autopilot and the fund just replenishes itself when progressivity is turned on. The legislature in the future will actually have to make appropriations, and if they choose not to, for whatever reason, they're free to do so. Is that correct?
Yeah, but brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Are there further questions?
Madam President.
Senator Hoffman.
To the Senator for North Pole's question, the answer is yes. The legislature does have to appropriate the funds. We cannot automatically replenish the fund. But the other question that was asked during the break was, during the phase down, as in the supplemental, we appropriated $180 million to front load this, and we plan on appropriating the money in the operating budget for the first year. So the program will be there for at least 4 years, and hopefully many more years if the price of oil stays there, but if at any point the fund does deplete because of the price of oil, the legislature has the prerogative of adding money to the fund at their discretion.
Are there further questions? Senator Bundy.
Just a comment. As we all well know on this floor, the government doesn't have any money. We simply redistribute the people's money. And this is, of course, an attempt, a noble one, to get some money back to the local communities, to the people. And I want to applaud the people who put this together. It appears to an attempt to be fair in the distribution. They may have missed the mark there a little bit, though, because obviously there are a number of communities who could indeed, if they chose, support their local schools with local taxation and do not. Meanwhile, people in communities like Dillingham, where they do support their local schools, may feel indeed they're being slighted because those that choose not to be responsible are getting the same amount of money per capita as those that are being responsible.
Is there further debate? Senator Terrio.
Madam President, it's my understanding, just looking at the numbers, the basic unit for an organized area is $96,000. From speaking to the co-chair, he indicated for those communities that are unorganized, they do get a base of $32,000 plus per capita, but there's always a little bit of an incentive that if they organized, they would get a little bit more. So they do share, those unorganized communities do share in this distribution, but if they take the step of getting organized, that they would see more of the money flowing to them. And also just appreciate the clarification that that this program does not operate on autopilot. And I would just suggest that anybody that got elected to office that's sitting in the room today, you know, just feel, think how you would feel if a decision had been made 15 years ago that would spend a lot of money, and here you have the power of appropriation, but, well, that money was decided, some previous legislature decided whether you had to spend that money. You know, that's why that yearly appropriation does have to be made. We don't know exactly what fiscal scenarios a future legislature might be facing. It will be up to them to determine on a yearly basis whether there are the surplus revenues to continue to fill this pot, or if they're not, then the pot starts shrinking down and the assistance to the municipalities starts shrinking down over time. In addition, if a future legislature finds themselves flush with money and wants to share more, it's my understanding, they can put more money into the pot, and then these basic distributions that are all calculated on $60 million will go up over time, too. So I do appreciate that mechanism, but also appreciate the fact that a future legislature is going to be able to exercise their power of appropriation just like we do. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Question being, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to CS or SB 72 finance? Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. The secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote and tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
So, the Senate has concurred in the House amendments to CS for Senate Bill 72 finance. Yes, majority.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the final passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date. Madam Secretary, Mr. Majority Leader, would you move us back up to messages from the House, please?
Yes, Madam President. Could we return to messages from the House?
Without objection, we will turn from messages from the House.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 24 by the House Finance Committee, suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E, Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 72 relating to the Community Revenue Sharing Program.
This will be held on the Secretary's desk. Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Madam President, I move that the Senate take up at this time House Concurrent Resolution Number 24, the title change resolution.
Is there an objection? The question being, shall the Senate adopt HCR 24 as a letter of intent to the bill we just worked on? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to change your vote? Secretary will record the vote. Secretary will tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, HCR 24 has passed the Senate. Now, Madam Secretary, will you please?
Message dated March 12th stating the House has passed and transmitted for consideration. CS for House Bill number 351, Judiciary by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to submission of fingerprints by applicants for a concealed handgun permit and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs.
Those are all the messages from the House this morning, Madam President.
Senator Stevens.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we move back up the calendar for introduction of guests.
Without objection, we are under introduction of guests.
Madam President, I have three longtime friends in the gallery behind me from the Old Harbor Native Corporation, and Old Harbor is the largest village on Kodiak Island. The Native Corporation there has done a tremendous job in doing good things for its members, as well as for the community, as well as for the state. You may recall the fiber optics connection between the continental United States and the biggest island in Alaska, and we're very proud of that. It connects us between what we call Upper Kodiak and Lower Kodiak, or some of you know it as the Kenai Peninsula and Lower and Kodiak, but anyway, that does connect us, and I'd like to introduce these three gentlemen. They've done a great job. The president of the Old Harbor Native Corporation, Conrad Peterson. Conrad, would you stand? And with him is Dave Jarrett and Carl Gator, also of the Old Harbor Native Corporation. Please welcome them.
Are there further introductions? Communications.
There are no communications this morning, Madam President.
Reports of standing committees.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 160, Mandatory Universal Health Care, and recommended the adoption of a Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. Previous fiscal and indeterminate fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator Ellis, Chair, signing no recommendations, Senators Stevens, Hoffman, signing amend, Senator Davis. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill number 164, Used Motor Vehicle Sales, and recommended the adoption of a Judiciary Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal note, signing no recommendation, Senator French, Chair, Senator Wilikowski, signing do pass, Senators Terrio, McGuire. The bill has no further referral. The bill is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 289, Home Energy Conservation. Previous zero fiscal note, signing do pass. Senators Hoffman, Stedman, co-chairs. Senators Elton, Thomas, Huggins, Olson. Signing no recommendation, Senator Dyson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee has placed the bill on today's calendar. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 293, Electronic Communication Devices, and recommended the adoption of a Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. New zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Ellis, Chair, Senator Davis. Signing no recommendation, Senators Bundy, Stevens. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered House Bill number 165, Big Game Guides and Transporters. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator French, Chair, Senators Wilikowski, McGuire. Signing no recommendation, Senator Terrio. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Resources Committee considered CS for House Bill number 267, Resources, Wildlife Violator Compact. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator Huggins, Chair, Senators McGuire, Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senator Wagner. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered CS for House Bill number 284, Finance, PFD Allowable Absence, Fellowships. Previous zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator McGuire, Chair, Senator Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senators Green, Bundy. Signing amend, Senator French. The bill has a further referral to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered House Bill number 286, Impersonating a Public Servant. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator McGuire, Chair. Signing no recommendation, Senators Stevens, French. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered House Bill number 296, Extending Board of Parole. Previous fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator McGuire, Chair, Senators French, Stevens, Green, Bundy. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered SCR 14, Peri-Anesthesia Nurses Week, February 2008. New zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Davis, Chair, Senators Elton, Thomas, Cowdery. The resolution has no further referral.
Mr. Pedroia.
Madam President, I move that the Senate take up Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 relating to Peri-Anesthesia Nurses Week at this time.
Is there debate? We're in final passage on SCR 14. Members may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Yes. Brief of these, please.
We have a member up speaking. I think the roll should be voided, please.
We will void the roll at this time. I'm afraid that's my mistake. I don't think I made it very clear that we were back in session. Just for clarification, Senate is back in session. And the question is, shall SR 14 pass on final passage? Members may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? The secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote and tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
And so SCR 14 has passed the Senate.
Those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Madam President.
Are the reports of special committees?
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills?
I have no Senate bills for introduction this morning.
Consideration of a daily calendar? Oh, Senator Dyson.
May we move back up the calendar, the introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll move back up the calendar to introduction of guests.
It's my privilege, the first time this year, to introduce my delightful wife, who's in the gallery behind here. Please make her welcome to the chambers.
Are there further introductions? We're back under consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 149 by Senator Terrio, an act relating to redistribution of used eyeglasses. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with a Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. New Zero Fiscal Note, signing to pass, Senator Ellis, Chair, Senators Bundy, Davis, Stevens, Hoffman. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill and recommended the adoption of the previous Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. Previous Zero Fiscal Note, signing to pass, Senator Davis, Chair, Senators Elton, Thomas, Dyson. There is a Labor and Commerce Committee substitute.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
And without objection, the Labor and Commerce CS will be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 149 being considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
And without objection, we're in third reading.
CS for Senate Bill number 149, LNC, an act relating to redistribution of used eyeglasses and to the Board of Dispensing Opticians.
Is there debate? Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Madam President. This legislation was introduced at the request of one of my constituents who is involved with a Lions Club. He has been very persistent in working this issue so that citizens in the state of Alaska can take advantage of the Lions Club program to redistribute used eyeglasses that still have useful life to needy recipients. He contacted me a number of years ago. I suggested that he work with the state agencies and was told by the state agency that, well, we understand you have a good program, but we're just not sure the state statutes allow you to run that program in the state of Alaska. And so based on that determination, the legislation was introduced. It just gives the department the authority to negotiate with a nonprofit group. It does not have to specifically be the Lions Club, even though they have a world-renowned program. It allows them to negotiate and approve a program for the redistribution of the eyeglasses. I'm thankful to the majority leader for the changes that were made in his committee that made it clear that the prescription doesn't have to be a dead-on match if you've got a prescription that could still help somebody, but it's not a perfect match. They would still be able to use those eyeglasses. And also the change in the committee substitute took care of a mistake that the drafters caught, that initially they had given the power to the board to make that determination, but then they came to find out that that board had been abolished a number of years ago, so that cleanup is also done in the statutes. This just allows that program that perhaps you're aware of, again, the Lions Clubs in particular, are known around the world for collecting up eyeglasses and making sure they get into the hands of individuals that can put them to good use and make sure that program can be made available to citizens in the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Is it for the debate? If not,
Madam
Thank you. Yeah, just for the body's information and anyone that might be listening, I was made aware by the local radio station that there's a basketball tournament going on in Juneau in the near future, and they will be collecting used eyeglasses. There will be containers to drop those off, and so I've asked that people from throughout southeastern Alaska that might be coming to town for the tournament to bring their used eyeglasses with them that are no longer used to them and drop them off in the appropriate container.
Is there further debate? Question being, shall CS for Senate Bill 149, Labor and Commerce, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote and tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
And so CS for Senate Bill 149, Labor and Commerce, has passed the Senate.
Senate Bill number 289 by Senators Hoffman, Stevens, Elton, Ellis, Kukesh, Terrio, Dyson, an act relating to home energy conservation and weatherization for purposes of certain programs of the Alaska Housing and Finance Corporation.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 289 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Senator Thomas.
I ask if it's possible that my name be added as a co-sponsor to SB 289.
Senate Bill 289. Senator Thomas, you are will be added as a co-sponsor, as will Senator Wilk, Senator Wilikowski, Senator McGuire, Senator Stedman, Senator Green, Senator French, Senator Davis. Is there debate?
Senate Bill number 289, an act relating to home energy conservation and weatherization for purposes of certain programs of the Alaska Housing and Finance Corporation.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. What Senate Bill 289 will do regarding home energy conservation, it would update and expand the home energy conservation and weatherization programs in the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. These are existing programs. It would also remove references to the Alaska Craft Home program as suggested by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. This allows the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to establish training program certification. It allows AHFC to plan, study, and implement and assist Alaskans through existing programs to deal with home energy conservation, weatherization, without limit to low income. The bill also allows AHFC to assist large numbers of Alaskans with home energy conservation. During the subcommittee hearings, we had were informed of the 270,000 homes in Alaska. There are approximately 45,000 homes that are drafty and need insulation. The two programs that that are listed in this legislation for consideration. One is the Energy Efficiency and Weatherization Program. In past years, AHFC has spent approximately $4.8 million a year that covers 600 households or 1,700 people in a medium income of 60%. It's anticipated that with the expansion of this program and raising the medium income to 100%, and I do believe there's an outline of what that means, the raising it at 100%, basically a family of two currently at 60% would have to earn $31,236. And at 100% of median income, a family of two would be eligible at $52,060. A family of four at 60% median income would be $45,936. And under 100% median income, that would be risen to $76,560 for family four. So it's still a pretty high standard. But under the expanded program, this would be able to service of the 45,000 homes that are considered in need of weatherization would cover 17,400 families or 49,000 people. The other program that is slated here for consideration is the Home Energy Rebate Program, and primarily this is available to all individuals in the state of Alaska, but the the criteria is on the Energy Star Rating system that's available to the state in the, throughout the United States. And if you were to have the assessment done, there's a requirement that an assessment be done prior to installation and a post-energy rating audit. And after the installation of weatherization, individuals, if they raise their ratings by one star, would be able to receive a $2,500 rebate and an additional $500 increase for each star, up to a maximum of five star of $5,000 rebate. It's anticipated under this program that while those homes are being weatherized, the homeowners themselves would provide $175 million of their own funds, bringing the total expended under this program of $275 million. Under the past program, the experience rating by HFC showed that they would increase their or have reductions in their home energy costs of approximately 30%. So I think that these two programs are well established within HFC, and at this point, I think it's with the price of oil rising to $110, we in Alaska surely are blessed with the revenues that we receive, and I believe that this bill will at least help Alaskans to minimize their or reduce their energy costs by participating in these two programs.
Is there further debate? Senator Bundy.
Thank you. As often is said, good news and the bad news. The good news, of course, is that the price of oil is bringing the state of Alaska substantial amounts of money. The bad news, of course, is it costs us all more energy. A reminder to the public and to the body, and in the two issues that we've passed today, the revenue sharing and now what I'm sure is going to pass, the weatherization program, we've spent $360 million. And as Paul Harvey would say, that's the rest of the story. A million here, a million there, it begins to add up.
Is there further debate? Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Madam President. The weatherization program, back when I was co-chair of finance, that used to be a program that I tried to look out for. And there were a number of years when money was real tight, it just limped along. But the reason that I was supportive is I had gone on tours in my district to see some of the conditions that a little bit of work had drastically improved the lives of constituents. And it sometimes is much more difficult than you think. Well, you think, well, just put the plastic on the windows or, you know, get new windows. But in a lot of houses, if you change that envelope and you don't put in the air exchange or at least take that into consideration, you might then cause condensation problems and potential mold problems. So it is good to have some professionals go in and help people of very modest means to make sure that they do things, they do them in a way that they'll actually get the savings and not trigger other problems. So that's a great program. As the gentleman behind me indicated that, as the state treasury swells because the commodity price goes up, Alaskans feel the pinch, and that actually... they've been feeling that pinch for a number of years. A couple of years back, I tossed in a bill and kind of got a shellacking for, the idea that we would just hand out money to help people pay their fuel bills. I certainly understood that suggestion had problems, and I applaud the prime sponsor of this bill for going to Alaska Housing Finance and saying, what can we do to modify your statutes instead of create a new program? So that we can push forward on helping people as they feel that pinch from the commodity price for energy going up. And I think this is a sensible way of doing it. Thank you.
Excuse me, but I think someone in here has their BlackBerry on. If you would please turn your BlackBerries off so as not to interfere with the sound system. Senator Ellis.
Madam President, I just wanted to make a brief comment. There was a reference by the co-chair of finance to the Alaska Craftsman Home Program that a program with this passage of this legislation is going away. A few folks were here in the late 80s and early 90s when we worked together to put some state resources into that specialized training program for the building industry. based on the successful model in the Yukon Territory for more energy-efficient home building in the state of Alaska. And we paid for materials and training courses. I'm happy to say that those building techniques and that training has gone mainstream, has gone statewide. And there's much, much more to be done. But I'm just happy that our building industry has taken on best practices, learned from other places to do a better job in the building of the housing stock in the state of Alaska. So this program recognizes that, makes use of the power and influence of HFC, as was noted by the minority leader. So I think we have the makings of a very successful, influential program. This is an example of us coming together and making a more superior work product, I think, than some of the other proposals that were here. This is the smart, insightful, fiscally responsible way to do this and to reduce energy demand and recognize the needs of those Alaskans who are suffering from high energy costs. So I'm very proud of our work together on this piece of legislation. It's a real breakthrough for the citizens of the state, and I'm hoping as many people as possible will take advantage to improve their lives and make responsible use of these state resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there further debate? Brief of these, please. Senator, the debate. Senator Wagner.
Yes, Madam President, I'd just like to have clarification on one thing. I believe I understand the bill and what it does, and one of the problems I have with the bill, and I'd like to ask the co-chair of finance to address this issue. I have many people live in my district who live in 3-, 4-, and 5-star homes already, but some of these people are living on a fixed income, and I don't see how this helps them meet their energy bills that they're having to pay for their natural gas and electric bills. So I'd like to have that addressed, please, if you would. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thanks, Senator. Mr. Robin.
Well, this obviously doesn't address that issue, and I think that there could be other programs that the legislature could consider that could supplement people's energy bills, but this bill was directed at conservation and only conservation. So I know it isn't the complete answer to Alaskans' energy problems, but I think that this is a great, great first step.
Thank you. Further discussion? Not. Shall the Senate adopt Senate Bill 289? Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. The secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the vote and tally the vote.
18 yeas, 1 nay.
And so that Senate Bill 289 has passed the Senate.
Citations honoring Mark Dooley, honoring Sergeant First Class Christopher Rick, honoring Clinton James Holbrook, Boy Scouts of America Eagle Scout, honoring Patricia Wolf, honoring Art LaRue, in memoriam Phil Kraus, in memoriam Glenn Harding Starn, in memoriam Jan Porterfield, in memoriam William Thomas Bill Ford, in memoriam John Norsworthy, in memoriam Richard Monroe Swarner, in memoriam James E. Carter Sr., in memoriam Phil Anthony Turkington.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be adopted.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar will be adopted.
And Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the special order citation in memoriam Walter William Diakonoff be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection, we will do so.
Madam President, I move approval of the citation.
Without objection, we have approved the special order citation this morning. Unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate take up at this time the Free Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 125, Public Employee Retirement System, Teachers, Employee Retirement System. At this time. I think
yes.
I said at this time a couple of times.
At this time? Shall we finish?
The following report was received in the Senate March 12 at 9:34 a.m. Report dated March 3, 2008, Madam President, Mr. Speaker, the Free Conference Committee considering CS for Senate Bill number 125 Finance and House CS for Senate Bill number 125 Finance, PERS, TERS, Contributions, Unfunded Liability, recommends the Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 125 be adopted. New fiscal note, signing the report, Senator Stedman, Chair, Senators Stevens, Wilkin, Representative Chenault, Chair, Representatives Hawker, Dugan.
Madam President, I move that the Free Conference Committee report be adopted.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to speak to the changes for clarification to the body. Well, we've long awaited 125, as we all know in here. But due to the calendar clicking by, we removed all references to Senate Bill 123. Senate Bill 123 became law last June, and 125 and 123 made adjustments to the retirement statutes, and they were traveling tandem at the time. So when 125 slowed down, it created some logistical issues. Since 123 became law, and 125 didn't, contingent references to 123 were removed. They were no longer needed. Removed the incremented FY09 to FY13 contribution rate for employers in the hold harmless category. Those were employers who have an 09 Alaska Retirement Management Board adopted rate below 22%. So that was taking care of the communities that had a contribution rate below 22. They may have been at 16 or 17 or so. We added intent language to clarify that Hold Harmless and HEROES grants would be made in a separate appropriation vehicle. The contribution rates used in the Hold Harmless grants were based on the latest actuarial report, June 30th, 06, and current 07 payroll data. So we updated for the passing of the calendar to use the most current data. One-time 09 grants have been appropriated in another bill. Employers who made contributions in excess of the amount required during 2005 fiscal year, 06 and 07 fiscal years will receive a one-time 09 grant to repay those contributions. And again, the reason we did that is some communities around the state took measures to help alleviate their unfunded liability prior to the state stepping in with this bill and creating a co-share environment and taking over the major responsibility for the unfunded liability. And for those communities that stepped up, one of which contributed over $1 million into their liability, that was refunded. Change the salary base floor used for calculating employers' termination provisions and a minimum annual payroll contribution from 07 to 08. Again, that's a rolling of the calendar. And that issue is to make sure that the state of Alaska isn't gamed by the communities when we have a contribution rate of 22% of payroll, that they don't go to creative accounting and artificially lower their payroll base. So we locked them in. Removed catch-up provisions dealing with elected officials participating in the PERS defined benefit plan. This provision was no longer necessary, so we just deleted that. Adjusted effective date clauses as a result of the one-year delay in passage of SB 125. So most of the issues related to the calendar. That is why we had to go to full free conference to get these issues in there. They were non-conferenceable under the other two conference alternatives. Thank you, Madam President.
Is there further discussion? Any questions? If not, shall the Senate concur? Adopt the Free Conference Committee report for FCCS Senate Bill 125. Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. The secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary, record the vote and tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
And so Free Conference Committee substitutes Senate Bill 125 has passed the Senate.
We have a brief at ease,
please. Brief at ease. Without objection, the effective date clause will have the same vote as the acceptance of the Free Conference Committee. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Davis.
Yes. Madam President, I'd like to be listed as a co-sponsor of 149, redistribution of used eyeglasses.
Without objection, you will be shown as a co-sponsor. And Senator Stevens. And Senator Green. And Senator Ellis, and Senator Elton, and Senator Wilkin. Okay, you lions. Senator Bundy. Okay. And Dyson. Okay, thank you. Okay. Is there further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Elton.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a brief announcement to remind folks that the Alaska Correctional Officer legislative shoot is tomorrow. It is at the Juneau range. No experience, no equipment. Everything is provided. And it begins at 9 a.m., goes until 3 p.m. There's going to be range instruction, and they're going to start serving breakfast at 8 in the morning. First-timers, again, are really welcome. Dress for the weather. My understanding, the high tomorrow is going to be 32 degrees, and a lot of what happens outside. And if people are interested, they can call Jesse in my office or Sudi in Representative Dahl's office. They will tell you that it will cost you $20 to participate or $60 for a team, and they'll let you know how to sign up, and they'll provide directions to the range. And we hope that we see a lot of folks there.
Are there further announcements, Senator Ellis?
Madam President, the Senate that shoots together stays together. So I commend the Senator from Juneau. Madam President, the serious announcement is that the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow, Saturday, March 15th at 4 p.m. in the Belch Room. We'll be taking up bills previously heard and scheduled, including Senate Bill 294, RCA positions and salaries, Senate Bill 297, non-union public employee salary and benefits, and House Bill 65, personal information and consumer credit. And if I may, belated happy birthday wishes go to one of our floor staff here in the Senate, one of our pages. I hope he will step forward and be recognized. Belated happy birthday wishes from yesterday to Jake Krusenstein. Jake, happy birthday.
Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to announce the results of the Southeast Alaska Food Bank fundraiser we had Wednesday night. And at the same time, I'd like to thank four senators from the bottom of my heart and for the people that are served by the food bank. That's a senator from Kodiak, senator from North Pole, senator from Hope, and myself. Also like to thank the senator from Wasilla who provided a couple of pies for the auction. And the total fundraiser was $35,880.
Wow. Further announcements, Senator Elton.
Madam President, as long as we're doing belated birthday wishes, yesterday was also the birthday of the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Johnny Ellis.
Madam President, if we're going to get carried away with this birthday stuff, I'd recognize the fellow who helps me with the leadership duties, Jesse Crosscall in the gallery over there. It was his birthday, and the rumor that I only hire people who share my birthday is totally a misnomer. That rumor on the internet is totally unsubstantiated, but it was Mr. Crosscall's birthday as well. So
thank you.
We all had fun together yesterday.
Okay. Are there further announcements? Special orders. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed the special privilege of speaking on the subject of They're All In.
They're All In, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. It's proud for me to go ahead and announce that four mushers from my district, all the mushers from my district are all in on the Iditarod. We had number 38, Louis Nelson Sr. came in that position. Number 30th position was Melissa Owens, 23rd position was John Baker from Kotzebue, and 17th position was Ed Eaton. It certainly was a good run for these people, mushers that were out there, and so I congratulate them on getting them, as well as the other mushers that are still on the trail and trying to get in there to know them despite the inclement situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Madam President. Consent, I have the special privilege of the floor to speak on two things. Correction is one, and second is rub your bellies.
On corrections and rub your bellies.
Thank you, Madam President. Really, in addition, my better half reminded me that while I spoke of our son, Bobby, that wasn't here today, I neglected to mention his dear wife, Jess. And Jess couldn't be with us today. She's a member of the administration's gas team and was in a meeting at 11, so I wanted to make sure that Jess was in my thoughts. I just didn't remember to talk about her. So. Madam President, if I could talk about rubbing our bellies, those that have served on finance together, each year Cal and associates would come and give us an update on our permanent fund. And when we would get that report, I always thought that we should sit back and rub our bellies because how good we have it. Wednesday, we received this book, and and the first time it's been published, and I would hope that everyone reads it as I did, because I found it fascinating. The title is Wealth Management, Sovereign and Permanent Funds Around the World, published by the trustees of our Alaska Permanent Fund. And in here, it talks about our permanent fund, but it also goes to the countries around the world that are putting money aside, not for a rainy day, but for a rainy generation. And it profiles every one of those, and it's just fascinating how people look at wealth differently and how they set money aside and distribute it. But I wanted to bring it home a little bit, and so I provided you with a couple of charts that I'll refer to here. But before I do that, I would hope that you'd look at page 11, and I'll just give you a preview. It talks about our permanent fund. We sometimes are called stingy a bit with our permanent fund and wanting to raid it and do all sorts of nasty things, and we're reminded each election about that. But I would remind you, and on page 11 it says right here, that of the money that is in the corpus of the permanent fund that has been deposited, the legislature is responsible for 66% of those appropriations. We have voluntarily put $18.8 billion into the permanent fund. That amount is double what the minerals and rents and royalties that are mandated by our Constitution. So the legislature has done double what our Constitution tells us to do. And we should be very proud of that. And I know we are, and those that will follow and those that preceded us will be. Let's turn to the charts for a second. So I really found this interesting because I've always thought about, well, where do we sit with our permanent fund or others? And sure enough, this is the book that tells us. The green chart shows you that the states, the six states that have put money aside, you had to boil this down to per capita. That was just my way to do it, just try to get some sense of reference. But you can see there that that we have almost $60,000 per capita. And Texas, for instance, has $1,600. I mean, I just found that really surprising. And we are far and away, obviously, as far as permanent savings accounts, far and away the most wealthy in America. But then we turn to the blue chart, and this was really interesting. We brought this down to per capita to see how we fit in the world. And you can see there that on a per capita basis, Alaska's permanent fund provides wealth to the people of Alaska that is number six in the world. Let that sink in a little bit. Sixth in the world. We have more in our rainy day accounts than Qatar on a per capita basis, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Alberta, Australia, Russia, South Korea, China, Iran. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but just surprised the heck out of me. And this, of course, is a two-edged sword, but I see this as a great thing for the folks of Alaska. And the little box, we're just one of few governments around the world that are trying to decide how to manage billions of dollars for thousands of people. We should be rubbing our bellies. And as just a parting thought, Madam President, if a generation from now we don't have the best schools in the nation, if a generation from now we don't have the best public safety, statewide and local, system in the nation, if we don't have the best public health system in the nation, if we don't have the best world-class responsible resource development in the nation. And President, if we don't have those things, it's because we don't have the will, because we have the world-class wealth to do exactly those things. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Special Representative Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. I ask for unanimous consent that I be allowed to speak on Way to Go, Girl.
Way to Go, Girl.
Yeah, Senator, and thank you all for not embarrassing me yesterday when I spoke passionately about two citations that were on today's agenda. But last year, you all helped me pass a citation for a delightful young woman, Corey Coghill, who won the national champion in trap shooting. And it was just announced in our papers yesterday that she made the U.S. Olympic team. And she shot 72 out of 75 targets. The last round, she got 25 out of 25. All the other competitors, the only one who got the closest one was 63 out of 75. And she happens to be a resident of Eagle River. Her mother was tragically killed on a bike path just north or just south of the Highland River, Highland Overpass, Veterans Memorial Highway, when a drunk went off the road and and plowed into her. Her father, Dick, chose to retire, and he was able to do that and spend these next years, I think it's over a dozen now, trying to be two parents. Corey was, her dad was teaching her to shoot as soon as she was old enough to hold both ends of the shotgun off the ground. Got her first grouse, I think, at 3, and has gone on to be a great champion, and we're proud of her. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator. Are there further special orders?
Madam President, I move that the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday, March 17th.
You are adjourned.